From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm anchor man, anchor myth, anchor legend, Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Now, we got a great show for you today, as always. We're so happy to have one of our friends, Austin singer-songwriter Robert Earl Keen, back on our show. He'll be joining us later. He just put out a new bluegrass album, which kind of fits because his middle name, of course, is Earl. He gave in to destiny, right? And we were wondering, can you make any name sound country just by putting an Earl in as a middle name?
Howdy, y'all. Billy Earl Curtis here. I'm just a pickin' and a grinnin'.
Ooh-ee. No, I think the answer is no, Bill. Thank you, though.
Well, it sort of depends what country we're talking about.
Yeah, that's true. Whatever your middle name is, we want to hear from you. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Kate Bushing from Kirkwood, Missouri.
Kirkwood, Missouri? I don't know where that is. Where is that?
It's a suburb of St. Louis.
Oh, there are so many suburbs of St. Louis.
Yes.
Where everything is so peaceful and calm.
All the time.
All the time. What do you do there?
I am a mom and a preschool director.
A preschool director?
Yeah.
So do you have to deal with the kids yourselves?
Yes, and all that entails.
That's, I mean, I remember when I was the parent of preschoolers, I have subsequently lost them. I have no idea where they are. That I would take my kids to preschool and drop off my rambunctious four-year-old with, you know, 20 others and look at these poor women, always women, who were doing it and just pitying them and so grateful that they had to do it for a while so I could, like, go get drunk.
Yeah. But it's worth it. The kids are darling.
Yeah.
And Kate drinks her way through it.
I understand. Yeah. Kate, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a feature writer at the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hi, Kate.
Next, the man behind the only politics blog written in flame. It's at Esquire, and he is Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Kate.
Hey, Charlie.
And lastly, say hello to a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning and the host of Science Goes to the Movies, which you can find at CUNY.TV. It's Faith Saley.
Hi, Kate.
Well, welcome to the show, Kate. We must always start our show with a round of Who's Bill This Time. That's what we're going to do. Bill is now going to recreate for you three quotations in the week's news. Your job, of course, identify or explain two of them. Do that. You'll win the voice of scorekeeper emeritus Carl Castle on your very own voicemail. Ready to go?
Yes, I'm excited.
Okay, here we go. Your first quote is from an aide to Speaker John Boehner.
If Taylor Swift and Katy Perry did a joint concert at Madison Square Garden, accompanied by dancing sharks, that's the only way you'd have a tougher ticket.
That was Mr. Michael Steele. He was talking about the frenzy to get a seat to see who address Congress.
Benjamin Netanyahu?
Yes, indeed. BB, as his friends call him, Netanyahu. It was nuts. Total frenzy in the Congress. Republicans were lined up for days outside the chamber. People were actually scalping tickets. Republicans, old school Republicans, were showing off their worn black tour T-shirts from the time Bibi spoke in Congress about how Iran was months away from getting a nuke back in 1996. Of course, back then, he was just opening for Hootie and the Blowfish. Now, some suggested that the Republicans didn't do this to undercut the president. They invited Bibi because they want to convince American Jews to finally vote for Republicans. The fact that they don't drives the GOP nuts. What is it about being rich and white that Jews do not understand? Did you guys watch the speech?
I watched Nancy Pelosi watching.
Really? What was that like?
It was far more dramatic. She was signaling her discontent, and then, as she said herself, Benjamin Netanyahu almost made her cry.
I'm trying to.
It was one of his ballads, I think.
Yes. When he got into the slow stuff.
Yeah. It was his acoustic set.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Also, as a Jewish person myself, it was exciting to watch all these, you know, Republicans cozy up to Mr. Netanyahu by trying to act Jewish, like Mitch McConnell. Also, Mr. Netanyahu, isn't our president all mashugana?
I noticed that too. You had all these wonderful waspy Republicans from, you know, Southern congressmen and stuff, all,
yeah,
you know, dancing the horror and falling all over themselves.
All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
I want the public to see my email.
That was somebody who says she wants the public to see her email, but apparently she wants us to enjoy the challenge of getting it. Just to keep us tough. Who is it?
That would be Hillary Clinton.
It was. Hillary Clinton has not even declared yet she's running for president, but her campaign has its first scandal. At this rate, she'll be impeached before the first primary. The New York Times reported that during her entire tenure as Secretary of State, she used a personal email address exclusively, not her official government one. That's bad, but worst, the address she used was RobSchneiderFan69 at Hotmail. And the question is, you know, nobody has any idea what's in those emails yet, but why did she do this? Why did she do something so weirdly shady for no apparent reason? Well, presumably it's because she's a Clinton. None of those people can help it. Her baby granddaughter has already made under-the-table deals to get mashed peas from foreign donors.
You know that 90% of these are about what Chelsea's bridesmaids' dresses were going to be like.
You know what? That's what they said. They said, you know, we just took out the personal ones, and the example they gave was, well, you know, the stuff about picking flowers for Chelsea's wedding. Turns out she ordered the flowers from Al-Qaeda. All right, your last quote isn't from a person, Kate. It's great. From the website of a bright, shiny new restaurant called the U.S. Taco Company.
We strive to bring our friends and family the very best of what America has to offer.
The U.S. Taco Company is an authentic, hip alternative to awful places like Taco Bell. And it's brought to you by the same people who own what?
Could I get a hint?
It's for people who really hate Taco Bell and would never be caught dead in a Taco Bell.
Oh, Mexican?
I'm inclined to give you that answer, except I just happen to know that Mexicans occasionally do go to Taco Bell. They bring their children there to scare them. Let me ask you this. I'll give you one more hint. Who would be really concerned about the fact that there are a lot of people who don't want to go to Taco Bell?
Taco Bell?
Exactly right. It was. You've probably heard that the whole fast food industry is rotting faster than a Big Mac left outside. Much faster than that. They don't seem to age. The problem for fast food chains is that the hip young people of today just don't go for corporate mass-produced fast food. The solution is that hip young people are stupid. So Taco Bell has invented a new restaurant, U.S. Taco Company. They decorated the restaurant with corrugated metal and vintage signs, and they serve things like a friggin' fried ice cream milkshake in a mason jar, right? It's very hip. And a nice bit of karma, though, so far all of the customers have been boring old people wearing fake hipster beards.
Where is the U.S. Taco Company located?
Their flagship location is in Huntington Beach, California. They opened it there.
Oh.
And
I just hate every part of this story.
It's true, though.
Mason jars.
Yeah, mason jars. It's very hip.
But they put friggin' on it? That's supposed to make it cool?
Yes.
Ay, ay, ay.
Isn't that how all the young kids talk?
Yeah.
Yeah. McDonald's is doing it, too. They have a new restaurant called The Corner.
No.
You get your burger. Yeah.
Stop.
Seems pretty blatant. They just put a handlebar mustache on each chicken McNugget. Bill, how did Kate do in our quiz?
3-0. She's a winner.
Well done, Kate. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about the week's news. Kiri.
Yes, sir.
Ride services like Uber are great for a bunch of reasons. They're easy to book. You pan your phone. There's that exciting, will I be kidnapped tension. But according to the New York Times style section, which is always just one step ahead when it comes to new trends, there is a downside to Uber. Ubers are terrible for what?
Car services are not good if you want to get frisky.
That's exactly right. Uber is not good for backseat hookups. Now, everybody loves a spontaneous romp in the back of a taxi when it happens. You can't keep your hands off each other no matter what it smells like back there. But the problem is, you see, with Uber, it may smell better, but the driver has all your information because you registered it with Uber when you called it. You're not just some anonymous horny person. You're Hillary at ClintonEmail.com.
But you know, when you go on Uber, yeah, afterwards, there's a 5-star rating.
Right.
They ask you, you know, to rate your driver. But your driver rates you,
precisely,
too.
That's another risk.
Right. So if you're hooking up and you're bad at hooking up, you're
right,
going to get, like,
yeah,
maybe you might have had a 1-star tryst.
I know.
Bad.
It's like, oh, yeah, this passenger was a solid tipper, kind of quiet, but something of a selfish lover. We'd like to say a quick thank you to one of our sponsors, Stamps.com. Stamps.com helps businesses avoid time-consuming trips to the post office. With Stamps.com, you use your own computer and printer to print official U.S. postage for any letter or package, and then the mail carrier picks it up. No more wasting time going to that post office or wasting money on expensive postage meters. Right now, listeners of this very podcast can use the promo code WAIT, W-A-I-T, for a special offer, a no-risk trial plus a digital scale and free postage. So go over to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and type in W-A-I-T, WAIT. That's Stamps.com, and enter WAIT.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and we're playing this week with Kerry O'Connor, Charlie Pierce, and Faith Saley. Here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Tyler Thurloway from Seattle.
Hey, how are things in Seattle?
It's great.
And what do you do there?
I build bamboo bicycles.
That's really funny. That's a great Seattle joke. Of course you do. What do you really do?
That's what I really do.
You build bicycles out of bamboo.
Yeah, the bicycle frame out of bamboo.
And right, what happens, I'm not saying this happens a lot, what happens if you run, you're riding your bike along, and you run into a hungry panda? Well, welcome to the show, Tyler. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Tyler's topic?
Been there, done that.
We think we live in a brave new world of annoyances, spam emails, pop-up ads, YouTube comments, public radio pledge breaks. What if it turns out that some of those annoyances are not so modern after all? Our panelists are going to tell you three stories of how something we thought was very new goes back a long way, but only one of them was the one we saw in the news this week. Guess that true story and you'll win Carl Castle's voice in your voicemail. Are you ready to do this?
I am.
Let's do it then. Okay, Tyler, first, let's hear from Charlie Pierce.
Recently translated manuscripts discovered in the depths of the Vatican Library revealed a curious restriction that was placed by Pope Paul III on the participants in the Council of Trent, the gathering of Catholic churchmen and intellectuals summoned to meet the rising tide of Protestantism that met for 8 years from 1545 to 1563. Given the temper and volatility of the times, Paul III wanted simplicity and concision in all writings. So the Pope mandated that no personal communication between council representatives could exceed 250 letters in length. Thus did Pope Paul III invent Twitter. This is a remarkable find, said Father Giuseppe Carbonara, the Vatican Library curator who oversaw the translation of the newly unearthed documents. It was the social media of the day, except that it was very carefully moderated. It was all business. No anonymous slander or cat pictures allowed.
Twitter, or a version thereof, at the 16th century Council of Trent. Your next story of something that's way older than we thought comes from Kiri O'Connor.
Written language was invented a little over 5,000 years ago, and only a millennium later, language found its true purpose, customer complaints. That's when a Mesopotamian guy named El-Nasir sold the messenger of a guy named Nani a bad batch of copper ingots. Nani fired off a clay tablet that read in part, "What do you take me for that you treat somebody like me with such contempt?" He asked for his money back. No word on what El-Nasir's response was. But Nani's clay tablet, unlike your one-star Yelp review, made it into a museum.
A customer complaint from the Mesopotamia of 4,000 years ago. Your last story of an early ancestor comes from Faith Saley.
Girls who cannot stop sending messages to guys they think are cute. This is a totally modern phenomenon, if by modern you mean post-Renaissance. Turns out 18th century young ladies gave themselves carpal tunnel syndrome due to overzealously communicating by waving their fans. Carpal tunnel is today associated with repetitive keyboard typing, but a historian from the University of Essex has discovered that the bony, milky wrists of the 1700s simply couldn't take the repeated stress of trying to flag down suitors with the flick of a fan. The semaphore of fans was an art offering scores of messages. When a lass twirled it in her right hand, it meant, "I am engaged to another." Drawing it across her pale cheek until the handle met her lips said, "You may kiss me." Holding it in the left hand and pointing it downward proclaimed, "I'm about to flash you my ankle. Yo, check it out." Jemima Birtwistle, a doctoral candidate, says, "I stumbled across multiple diary entries from London society girls who all complained about similar forearm pain. One attributed the incessant tingling to having had her wrist once brushed by the Prince of Bohemia."
All right. One of these things goes back much older than we thought. Was it from Charlie Pierce? Twitter, a primitive version thereof, was used at the Council of Trent for communication between the cardinals. From Kiri O'Connor, customer complaints found on an ancient Mesopotamian clay tablet. Or from Faith Saley, carpal tunnel syndrome, not caused by typing, but by flirting with fans in 19th century London. Which of these is the real story of modernity and antiquity?
I think I'm going to go with the customer complaints from ancient Mesopotamia.
You're choosing Kiri's story of the ancient Mesopotamian whining. Well, we spoke to someone familiar with the real story.
I just think about how much work that it took to make this customer service complaint. You had to pound into the clay, and then you have somebody carry the tablet.
That was Lauren Davis. She's a contributing editor for the website io9.com. They wrote about the ancient customer complaint from Mesopotamia. Congratulations, Tyler. You got it right. You earned a point for Kiri O'Connor, just for being honest. You've won our prize. Carl Castle, the one and only, will record the greeting on your home voicemail. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Kiri.
Fun to talk to you.
When you gotta do me right, or I'm going to do you wrong.
And now the game where we like to treat people we like very rudely by asking them about things they know nothing about. So about 6 years ago, we went down to Austin, Texas, and we talked to singer and songwriter Robert Earl Keen, who told us stories of how he made his living by engaging in sin, desperation, and depravity, and then writing about it. He's out with a new album of bluegrass songs, which confuses us because we did not know you could do anything depraved with a banjo. Robert Earl Keen, welcome back to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So we sort of revisited some of your life stories, and we found out some things that we didn't know about you the first time. For example, we found out that your younger sister helped you get into bars in high school.
Yes, she did. She was a foosball champion. And
I'm sorry, say that again. A foosball champion?
Foosball. You remember foosball?
Yeah, like the table soccer with the spinning
the
poles.
Yeah, table soccer. Exactly.
And she was your older sister was a foosball champion.
My younger sister.
Your younger sister.
My younger sister was a foosball champion in Houston, Texas, and she'd say, "You got to come down here. You'll like it." And I didn't know what I was getting into. And we were both underage, so we both would sneak in. And as soon as they'd open the door, people would turn their heads, and all the air would go out of the room, and they go, "Oh, there she is! Oh my God, it's Jorn Borg of foosball."
Foosball, really? Yeah, so if I walked into some down and dirty Texas bar, the kind of place where the band plays behind a fence to keep them from being hurt,
right?
There'd be young girls playing foosball. That's what you're telling me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you might have to get a special, password or something to get back there to see that.
I understand. That's the real hardcore stuff, only for friends.
Right.
Hey, Robert.
Yes?
Do you like, you've got like a three-part name.
Right.
Do you like people to call you Robert Earl? Who call?
A lot of people call me Robert Earl. I introduce myself as Robert Earl.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
And were you born Robert Earl, or did you throw in the Earl?
I'm actually a junior. My dad was the first one, and so I was Robert Earl Keene Jr., which I used to have that on my name as a stage name, but it got confusing. I had too many people call me Junior, and then I wanted to fight them.
Yeah. As I was listening to your catalog, I came across this picture of on your album cover, Picnic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's two cars, and one of them, it seems, is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that was not staged.
No. I went to Willie Nelson's second picnic, and I was there doing the Willie thing, in the Willie way, as we all know. And
I
overdid it, and I took a nap in the afternoon, and I woke up to the MCs hollering out names and license plate numbers, and he said, "And the next winner is RHP997.
Right.
And I said, "That's my car, man." And everybody around me who was, they hardly had any clothes on, they said, "Wow, that's awesome." And they were clapping. And so I ran out there, and there was my car. It was burnt to a crisp.
So what happened?
What happened to the car, or what happened to how did I get home, or what?
Look, ma'am, this sounds like it's the kind of story that could take the rest of the show, so it's yours.
Somebody from the festival came to me and said, the least we could do is let you meet Willie. So I said, "Okay, that's cool." So I went and met Willie, and he said, "Sorry about your car." And he said, "I got to go jam with Leon Russell. I'll see you next time."
And how did the car catch fire?
There was a guy that was, he was in the Willie way as well, and he was out in the parking lot, and he was taking a nap in his car with the air conditioning on, and the exhaust caught the grass on fire, which then the wind blew it, and it burned up 16 cars totally. It burned up about.
Wait. The exhaust caught the grass on fire?
He was asleep, and somebody knocked on his window, and he looked up in the panic and just shoved it in drive and just spilled an entire line of fire across this dry grass.
What the hell kind of car is this?
That's awesome. This guy is like driving through the grass parking lot, leaving a trail of flames.
With flames coming out of his tailpipe.
And the MC is like seeing this, and these are all the cars that have burnt. And he's reading off license plates, and everybody's going, "Yay!" Because it's a Willie Nelson concert.
Because it's the Willie way.
The Willie way.
There was more love back then, I think.
Yeah, people were happier.
Yeah, people were really happy.
Hey, Robert Earl, on your website, it says that making this bluegrass album is like something you can cross off your bucket list. So I was wondering, what else is on your bucket list?
Oh, I want to make a record with Sade.
Whoa.
Sade? Wow.
Yeah.
Have you reached out to her about this?
No, it's just, I am cosmically. It's out there. It's just out there.
The energy is out there. Sade, really, of all the people?
What if you're on her bucket list? This is perfect.
That would be just a dream come true, wouldn't it?
Right. What if she's right now sleeping in her car, listening to this radio program? I was listening to your live album. And I noticed that on some of your big songs, like the Christmas song, Christmas with the Family, and The Road, people sing every word along with you.
They like singing with us, and that's, you know, people are always kind of curious about why people sing with us, and I don't really have an answer except for I kind of believe that everybody really in their heart believes that they can sing better than I can, so they sit out there.
Yeah, like this
and
song.
They just sing along, hoping to drown me out, maybe.
This song is so great; it would be better if I could not hear him. Well, Robert, it's always a great time talking to you, but this time we have asked you here to play a game that we're calling...
We Have Found the Enemy, and They Are Adorable.
Now, the last time you were on the show, as you may remember, you told this delightful story about how one day you woke up in your house there out in the country to find your wife standing in the doorway wearing only her underwear, shooting at cats with a deer rifle.
Yes.
That happened. Now,
absolutely.
We broadcast that story, and people were like, how could she be so mean to the poor cats? So we want you to be able to defend your wife next time she goes feral. So we're going to ask you three questions about how cats are actually trying to kill us all.
Okay.
Get two of these questions right, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Bill, who is Robert Earl Keen playing for?
Jade Walker of Syracuse, New York.
All right. Here's your first question. Cats can control our behavior in very sneaky ways, such as A, driving off friends and family so it can have you to itself, B, infecting people with a parasite that makes them love the smell of cat pee, or C, hiding our car keys so we can never leave them.
Wow. Those are so perfect. How would anyone know what the correct answer was? I would have to say, A, driving off friends and family.
Right. They do that by just scaring them and making them unhappy so they leave, so they can have you all to itself.
Well, I've had cats that did that, but they usually did it to me.
Right. They're driving you off because they presumably love somebody else.
Yeah. And then the other two, the last one was what?
Hiding our car keys so we can't leave them.
Oh, my God. That's what's happened to my car keys all the time.
Yeah, the cat.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to go with that one then.
I like your thinking, but it was actually the other one you didn't consider. That cats,
the middle one.
The middle one. The cat pee. That there is a parasite in cats that people believe can get into people and make them like the smell of cat pee, which might lead to, you know, cat lady syndrome, where people just accumulate all these cats because they love them.
Really?
Isn't that creepy?
Yeah, I haven't had that cat yet.
All right, you still have two more chances here, Robert. Here's your next question. A new study that tracked cats during the day while they thought no one was watching them discovered they spent one-third of their time doing what? A, rearranging the litter box. B, wrecking or attempting to wreck all of your possessions. Or C, killing or attempting to kill.
Destroying my possessions. And rearranging the, and killing or ki- boy oh okay I go with kill I go I would go with kill because you know, you walk up to your house and all of a sudden there's some kind of dead bird right there in front of your, and you go, where did this come? And you went, oh, I know what it is, it's Fluffy.
Right. You're exactly right. That's what they do. They are murderers, and don't you forget it. Last question. Cats spend a lot of time cleaning themselves. You've all seen this. In many cases, they clean themselves because A, they're paranoid schizophrenics and think they're covered with bugs. B, they're trying to get your stink off them. Or C, they're such murderous predators, they're seeing if they can eat themselves.
Oh, my God. No, I want that cat. That's the one that I want.
The cat that's trying to eat itself?
Yeah. That would take out a lot of, get rid of a lot of my problems.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with number two.
You're trying to get your stink off them?
Yeah.
That's right.
There we go.
Next time you pet your cat, watch to see if it then licks itself clean because it can't stand you and it can't stand your smell. Bill, how did Robert Earl Keen do on our quiz?
Robert Earl is a cat person. He got 2 out of 3. Congratulations.
Robert Earl Keen's new album is Happy Prisoner, the Bluegrass Sessions. Who knew? Robert Earl Keen, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I'll talk to you next time. In just a minute, don't Bogart the limericks, man. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Faith Saley, Gary O'Connor, and Charlie Pierce. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, our political roundtable discusses the implications of this week's net neutrality ruling on the upcoming presidential primary races. Just kidding. We're just going to read you some limericks. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Charlie, the artist who painted a portrait of President Bill Clinton that hangs in the National Portrait Gallery in Washington has revealed that the painting includes what?
It contains a shadow which is a representation of Monica Lewinsky's blue dress.
That is exactly right, Charlie. This painting in the National Gallery, National Portrait Gallery, shows President Clinton standing proudly, some might even say cockily, in front of a fireplace, and there's this shadow on the mantle cast by something we can't see. And the artist said this week, just this week, in an interview, that it is in fact Monica's famous blue dress, although some people swear it's a white and gold dress. This particular artist says that he felt that as the Lewinsky scandal cast a shadow over Mr. Clinton's presidency, he should include an actual shadow. In addition, he says, although you can't see it, of course, under the jacket, Mr. Clinton is wearing Paula Jones's bra. Faith, this week, the hookup app, dating app, Tinder, unveiled a new subscription service. It's already been met with some criticism, though. Specifically, people are complaining that the company charges you more if you're what?
Hot. And, well, no, rich. Mm. Hot and rich. Hot and rich.
No. Keep in mind that this is a, what, as I'm sure you don't know because you're happily married, Tinder is one of the, is this famous app
you know all about it.
Excuse me.
That's how I stay happily married.
I understand.
Okay,
and
what?
As you know, it's free.
Yeah.
But now they're rolling out Tinder Plus.
Oh.
And you pay.
If you're older.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
pay double if you're old.
Yeah. It's called surge pricing. As in hormone surges.
Right. Yeah. That's what you meant. This week, Tinder announced they're offering this new premium membership, Tinder Plus, and if you are over 30, you pay twice as much for it. That's because they say young people have less money, and also young people tend to be grossed out by your wattles, Grandpa. You'll see an old lady looking at photos in your phone, and you'll say, oh, there's your grandkids, and she'll be like, nope, tonight Granny is having dinner at 4:30 in one of these huddies for dessert. Charlie, from time to time, automakers will create a special edition car, the Eddie Bauer Edition Ford Explorer, or the I Can't Believe You Fell for This Edition PT Cruiser. Well, now Chevy is releasing a special Watt Edition luxury truck.
Pope Benedict the 15th.
That would be awesome. But no, this is for the truck driver who likes to buy his vehicles in bulk.
Well, I mean,
where do you buy things in bulk?
Costco?
Yes. Costco. It's the Costco edition Chevy truck.
Does it have a gigantic tin of popcorn in the back seat?
It absolutely does. It has an extended cab, special Costco insignias, and it comes in a box of 20 identical trucks. It's expensive, but you save more per truck, you see.
And then, and when you drive off the lot, is there somebody there to ask for a receipt with a...
Sharpie.
Yeah. It's the Silverado Kirkland edition. Kirkland, of course,
Kirkland.
Is Costco's store brand, and it's only available to Costco shoppers, which is great because it features things that Costco shoppers need, like cup holders that can fit a 55-gallon drum of Mountain Dew. This is just the beginning, though, of retail-branded vehicles. Subaru has announced the Trader Joe's edition Outback with seating for 6 full-sized lesbians. And by the way, that's not funny.
Well, I got my first truck when I was 3. Drove 100,000 miles on my knees. Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924, or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, and our upcoming shows on the road will be in Boston April 16th, will be in Durham, North Carolina on May 21st, and next week in New Orleans, Louisiana. So see us there. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, how do you do? This is Bennett Moon coming out of Athens, Georgia, by way of Columbia, Tennessee.
Whoa! You sound like a late-night DJ. Is your name really Bennett Moon?
Yeah, and believe it or not, my parents were not hippies. Quite the opposite, law and politics. So I guess I came out with a strange name to just fool all of you.
Bennett, welcome to the show. Bill Curtis is going to read you 3 news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. Your job, just fill in that last word or phrase, or do it 2 out of 3 times, and you will win our prize. Ready to do it?
Yes, sir.
Here is your first limerick.
At each edit and each table read, Seth and Evan would blaze and proceed. Their results were ironic, but the residue's chronic. Their old office walls still reek of...
weed?
Yes.
Weed, yes.
Former Sony CEO Amy Pascal, they threw her out of the headquarters, but they gave her a new office on the lot, but she can't move into it because it reeks of pot smoke. Apparently, this is true. The former tenant was Seth Rogen. And he, as we know, smokes so much weed, when he finally exhales, it looks like there's a new pope. They're fumigating, but still, she's going to get a contact high. And we're excited for when Sony greenlights the $50 million film A Bunch of Swirling Colors, starring George Clooney and a lava lamp. Here is your next limerick.
Hydroponics are helping my plot. Master cottontails here quite a lot. I've found rabbit habits include fresh cannabis. Yes, Peter's addicted to...
pot.
Pot. And I should say that the Peter mentioned is Peter Cottontail. Utah is close to becoming the latest state to legalize medical marijuana, but one DEA agent raised the alarm in front of the Utah legislature. He warned them that rabbits might eat the weed, and then what would you have? You'd have a bunch of weed-crazed rabbits running around. They'd run rampant in the state's cornfields and taco orchards. Here is your last limerick.
Bennett, you're really great. Let's see how you do on this one.
Is the next one answer marijuana?
How did you know?
Oh, let him read the limerick.
Ben and Jerry mix up what do you wanna? Their new batch won't make munchies a goner. The bigger the cone, the more I get stoned. Their ice cream contains...
marijuana!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben and Jerry say, Ben and Jerry's ice cream, that when it's legal to do so, they will try to make some marijuana ice cream, resulting in thousands of people simultaneously getting and curing ice cream headaches. Of course, they're going to need to make it a special no-melt formula for the 98% of consumers who will accidentally put it back in the cabinet instead of the freezer.
They've already got Cherry Garcia.
That's true. Not to mention wavy gravy. Yeah. So, Bill, how did Bennett do in our quiz?
Oh, man. She is really cool. She got all three.
Congratulations, Bennett. Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the score?
Sure can. 2, 3, and 4. Faith has 2, Charlie has 3, and Kiri has 4.
All right. So, Faith, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Wednesday, an attack with a knife left the U.S. ambassador to blank hospitalized.
South Korea.
Right. Senate Republicans fell 5 votes short of overturning President Obama's veto of the blank bill.
Keystone.
Right. After 2 months of jury selection, the trial of the blank bomber began on Wednesday.
Boston.
Yes, Boston Marathon. A Massachusetts woman impersonating her boyfriend in order to withdraw money from his bank account was foiled when employees saw blank.
Her mustache fell off.
Exactly right. According to police, not such a great disguise. Researchers in Ethiopia say they've discovered a jawbone belonging to one of the world's first blanks.
Homo sapiens.
Yeah, human ancestor. The Ringling Brothers Circus announced that they intend to phase out blank acts by 2018.
Elephant.
Right. A substitute teacher in Ohio will be sent to jail for 90 days after showing a high school class a movie entitled Blank.
Oh, the title?
Yes.
I know it was like a horribly obscene and violent movie.
It was, but it was called The ABCs of
Death.
Yes. The ABCs of Death, it sounds educational until you get to the of death part. It's a horror anthology film depicting a grisly death or horrible incident, one for each letter of the alphabet. It's E for exterminate. In any event, the students leapt to her defense with their own short film, C is for the coolest substitute teacher ever. This is true. The jury foreman said, after they sent her to jail for 90 days, said that they believed her when she said that she didn't know what the film was, but not, quote, after the 3rd, 4th, and 5th screening. How did Faith do in our quiz?
She's very well. 6 right, 12 more points, 14, and she has the lead.
Excellent. All right. Very well. It's a very good round. Faith studies up. Charlie, you're up next. Fill in the blank. After a 3-month battle, the House approved a bill that would fund the blank for the rest of the year.
The Department of Homeland Security.
That's right. Thousands gathered this week to protest the murder of an opposition leader in blank.
Russia.
Right. On Monday, military forces in Iraq launched a campaign to recapture Tikrit from blank.
ISIS.
Right. After a 30-year congressional career, Maryland Senator Blank announced he would be retiring in 2016.
Barbara Mikulski.
Right. A fire chief in Canada was forced to remind citizens that blank was not a legitimate reason to call 911.
They were lost.
No. They were just checking to make sure that 911 was still working. A lawyer for Blank said he would be willing to return to the United States if he could be guaranteed a fair trial.
Edward Snowden.
Right. An Ireland man who attempted to steal a Mercedes by throwing a brick through its window blanked.
Missed.
No. He was right on target. He hit the window, bounced off the window, hit him in the head, and knocked him out. The incident was captured on a security camera, so we take back anything bad we've ever thought about the surveillance state. Bill, how did Charlie do in our quiz?
Charlie got 5 right, 10 more points, 13 total, but Faith still has the lead.
All right. How many, then, does Kiri need to win?
5 to tie, 6. To win.
Ooh. Here we go, Kiri.
High bar, high bar.
You can do it. This week, the Supreme Court heard arguments in the legal challenge against blank.
Affordable Care Act.
Yes. LaGuardia Airport was briefly closed on Thursday after a plane blanked.
Skidded off the runway.
Right. The Supreme Court of Alabama ruled that the state must uphold its ban on blank.
Same-sex marriage.
Right. On Wednesday, a hospital in Liberia released the country's last known blank patient.
Ebola.
Right. A lawmaker in Oklahoma petitioned to change his state's official vegetable because its current official vegetable is blank.
A fruit.
Yes, it's the watermelon. This week, Google announced that they'd be starting their own small-scale blank service.
Car service.
No, wireless for your phone. Oh. Best known for playing Mr. Spock on Star Trek and a friend of this show, blank passed away at the age of 83.
Leonard Nimoy.
Right. This week, a Seattle man was disciplined for sexting while blanking.
Having sex.
No. He was sexting while performing surgery.
Oh, not good.
The Department of Health revoked the man's medical license after it was discovered that over the past year, he had sexted while performing surgery. Well, we all know you should only sext while driving a car. Bill, did Kiri do well enough to win?
She got 6 right. 12 more points, and when we totaled it up, she had 16 in the win.
Congratulations, Kiri. Hard to do, but you did it. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, now that Bibi Netanyahu's speech before Congress was such a big hit, who will John Boehner invite next and why? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations. And Lumosity offering a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving with brain games to calculate baseline scores and build a personalized brain training program. Performance can be compared to global averages. Learn more about this at Lumosity.com. Care.com, offering home pay, a solution for nanny payroll, tax, and HR obligations, from automatic payments to preparing state and federal tax returns. Learn more at Care.com/NPR. Lumber Liquidators, offering a variety of sustainably harvested flooring, including pre-finished and stained exotic and domestic hardwood, bamboo, and cork. Learn more at LumberLiquidators.com or call 1-800-HARDWOOD. And Angie's List, offering an updated app for iPhone and iPad that lets members compare consumer reviews, shop local service offers, and schedule projects with the Snap Fix feature. More at AngiesList.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug, I'm never leaving, never, never, I tell you, Berman, benevolent overlord. Philip Goedeker writes our limericks. Our house manager is Mr. Don Hall. The assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Jeanette Flix Harris Courts. Our web guru is Ms. Beth Novi. Special thanks to John Zajac and Lester Larchick at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Waltrover and Miles Dernboss. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Her CFO is Andy N. Our production coordinator is Mr. Robert Newhouse. Special thanks this week to birthday boy Opus Moreski. Our senior producer is Ian Schillag, and the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, who will John Boehner invite to Congress next? Faith Saley.
After Bibi Netanyahu, it's Bibi Newworth, whose rendition of All That Jazz also brings Nancy Pelosi to tears.
Kerry O'Connor.
After Bibi Netanyahu, Phoebe Cates, D.B. Sweeney, E.B. White, G.B. Shaw, and a PB&J.
And Charlie Beers.
I don't know who it is, Peter, but it will be simulcast on the BBC.
Oh. If the speaker invites any of them, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Kiri O'Connor, Faith Saley, Mr. Charlie Beers. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week from New Orleans. This is NPR.